Friends, it is just so good to be back. The Lord has been so gracious and kind to us, and I'm just glad that we're able to connect on this virtual platform, that we can lift up Christ together. Before we go any further, we had one of our members of our church family, their father to pass away, Jessica Kelly. So we want to lift up the Kelly family and the Arnie family, just in their immense loss during this season and time, especially as we're in this holiday season. And many of you are suffering from loss from the past. And so I just pray peace. And that's kind of a front to where we're going today in the message. And if you look behind me, we're going to a boat. And I'm telling you, I pray and believe that you're going to be blessed. And so wherever you find yourself, whether bereavement or pain or struggle or in the distractions and fears that we've been talking about, know that our God is faithful. Thank you as always for staying connected to ebcnc.com, where we have so many things that are going on. Thank you for your giving in whatever form that manifests itself, whether you're giving in our in-person services at 8:45 and 10:45, or you're giving on our online service through our app, or you're sending into our secure mailbox. We thank you. But giving also exceeds that. It says that in the scriptures, God loves a cheerful giver. And we want to give from our heart. We want to reach out to people. We want to text. We want to embrace. We want small group studies, that even in these strange times, the church is growing strong. Well, again, I am ready to get into today's message. And I just want our hearts to be prepared as we're thinking about the wonders of God. See you soon.
This morning, our scripture is coming from 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 23 through 31. And it reads like this: Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For he is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared among all gods. For all the gods of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his dwelling place. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved. Last verse, let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Then the earth be glad. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Amen.
In times like these, you need a Savior. In times like these, you need an anchor. Be very sure. Be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, he's the one. This rock is Jesus, the only one. Be very sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Like these, need the Bible in times like these. Oh, be not idle, be very sure, very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. This rock is Jesus. Yes, He's the one. This rock is Jesus. Have a Savior in times like these. I have an anchor, I'm very sure.
He is real to you. Jesus is real. As we get into today's lesson, back into distractions and fears, and I don't know about you, but I have really been just examining myself with the distractions, realizing on a daily basis how many distractions arise in our life, especially when you're praying, when you're reading God's word, when you're focusing in. So I really want to encourage you to fight through those distractions and fears. And as we've been going through these lessons, that you apply, really apply these scriptures as the Holy Spirit is just moving on the inside, that we can be a more focused people. I've been reading a lot of books of missionaries and pastors and ministers from the past and the 1800s, 1700s, and just seeing what a different world that was compared to where we are with all of the niceties that we think, but they can bring so many distractions. So I am just blessed thinking about the word that we're going to get into today. So I ask you just to please go in a word of prayer with me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for who you are. Thank you for this day that you have made, Lord. And as we are ministering in this series on distractions and fears, Lord, I just welcome you in the scriptures that we've been learning, 2 Timothy 1:7, for you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I thank you today, Lord, that you're just moving in our hearts. Lord, in case someone is looking in or listening in that doesn't know you, would you help today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, you have raised them from the dead and you said they would be saved. Let them know us by grace through faith and not of themselves. It's a gift from you, not of works, lest any man should boast. Father, for you said that we are your workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that you have prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Lord, I thank you for deliverance today. Now, Lord, I ask you to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And Holy Spirit, I welcome you. I sent you here. Would you teach us and guide us and lead us into all truth? Would you make this word so plain, so easy to be understood that even a small child can be transformed to be like you? Father, please be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today, as we've been working through the New Testament, we're going to pick up Mark chapter 4 and the 37th verse. Mark chapter 4 and the 37th verse. Listen to this. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Again, that Mark 4:37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. I want to speak from a title today, How to Make It Through a Storm. How to Make It Through a Storm. The time frame today is about 32 AD, so we're getting close. Jesus is getting closer and closer to that cross as he is leading his disciples and teaching all those that are around him. Here within these particular scriptures, this section has been recorded in Matthew 8:23-27 and also Luke 8:22-25. So we have a lot of parallels of this particular incident that we're going to deal with today. And it shows you the importance of it, that these gospel writers would want to pull this in. In Mark's writing, Jesus has just taught on the parable of the souls. He's dealt with the lamp, the teaching of the lamp, the growing seed, and the mustard seed. And I want to keep that, you to keep that in mind, because this is a seed growing experience that's going to happen. And I want to encourage you, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but whatever you're going through, I want you to know God is growing something good in you. You've just got to trust him and realize that God knows the big picture. At this point within the teaching, it actually goes from parables to practicum. What that means is it's going from just this kind of allegorical teaching and painting pictures to, okay, we're going to put in practice what we've learned, what you've seen with the pictures that I painted. Now we're going to take that and we're going to practice it out. You've got to realize that in every teaching, every word that you get in your life, there is going to be a practice time. There's going to be a time that you actually put it, what you've learned, into practice. And this is the setting that we come upon. Let's look at Mark 4:35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. How to make it through a storm. This is the point that they have heard the word, and now they have to apply the word. Our first point of the day, Jesus never wastes words. Jesus never wastes words. In our life, all of us, we waste words sometimes. We can just kind of talk and blabber, and you may know some people who repeat themselves over and over again. They continue to talk, and then they run out of that thought, and they go right back to the other thoughts. Some of them have challenges and very thing, but we see so many times we can waste words. In this Mark 3:22, before we get to this fourth chapter, we find out that this is a busy day. So actually from that third chapter all the way to the fourth chapter, and we're in this 35th verse, most theologians hold that this was one day. In the business of our life, it is amazing how distractions and fears can arise. Any amens? Just think about, as we're in this holiday seasons and things are ramping up, we've got supply chain issues and we're trying to bless family and friends, getting together, all of these things occurring. It is a wonderful setting. And I say this because we're going to see what can happen in distraction and fear, but distractions and fears are really blooming within our lives. We already had a subset of other struggles that we were dealing with. And now we bring in family. Now we bring in this holiday season. Now that we add all of these things, we can see how a stress can rise within our lives. Jesus states something very important within this scripture. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm. He says this, let us cross over to the other side. I want you to keep that in your mind, because again, Jesus never wastes words. So everything he says has a meaning, and it is the truth. He did not say, let us cross over and die in the middle of the storm or the middle of the sea. He did not say, let us start out this journey and not finish it. He said, let us cross over to the other side. And I want you to know, wherever you are in your situation now, there is another side. You just got to know that Jesus is with you. The Heritage Singers in 1976, they really capture this whole thought pattern of trust in the Lord. They sang, faith is the essence of things unseen, the substance of things hoped for. God's word has said it, and I believe it, for the miracle has happened to me. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. Though some may doubt that his word is true, I've chosen to believe it. Now, how about you? God said it, and I believe it, and that settles it for me. And any witnesses in the house that we're going to trust God's word, what he says settles it, and we're going to believe it, how to make it through a storm. Look at Mark 4:36. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Listen to this again. Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him, that's Jesus, along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Here's a point. Jesus is in the boat. Yes, isn't that good? Jesus is in the boat. Now, as they get into this, they have the miracle worker. They have the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's already done so many different miracles, signs, and wonders. Jesus gets in the boat. And I want you to know, if Jesus is in your boat, everything is going to be okay. Everything is going to be fine. And that's why I continue to beckon those who don't know Christ to accept them into your heart. Because those that are believers, we who are believers, we've got Christ on the inside, and even in the worst circumstances, the craziest situations, we know as long as Jesus is with us, we realize that God never fails. This is a principle that we can pull out in Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. Somebody say with you. You can put it in the chat, with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Jesus is in the boat. Whatever you are going through, never forget that you have a good Savior, a good Shepherd, a loving God that again will never leave you nor forsake you. How to make it through a storm. Look at Mark 4:37. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. Here's another point. In the midst of the storm. In the midst of the storm. Now, I want to put a subset to this. Please realize this storm was not by mistake. It just didn't sneak up on God. He knows all things. He has always been in control. And so at this point, the storm arises. Remember, I told you, they're going from parables to practicum now. They've got to put in practice what they've heard, what they've learned. They've got to walk in it. This was a whirlwind or a cyclone. Historians of that time said that around the Sea of Galilee, these tumultuous storms would rise up fast and quick and hard, and they would come in. And so they were used to it as they were fishermen of these storms arising. But this was on such a magnitude that rose that it actually shook the faith and brought fear and distraction into seasoned fishermen because they had forgotten who was in the boat. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm. Anybody ever had a storm in your life rise quickly? Any amens out there? You had something, days was going well, you were happy, everything was in place, and then bam, a cyclone came. Bam, all of a sudden the darkness approached you, and clouds rolled in, and rain and storm and lightning began to come. It happens to all of us. If you're not in a storm, get ready. A storm is coming. But it's so good to know that Jesus is with us in every situation, and that we can trust him. I'm talking about how to make it through the storm.
storm. Isaiah 59:19 says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. I love this part. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Any hallelujahs out there that know that even when the storms arise, there is already a standard that God has us. Remember 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But we're learning how to make it through a storm. We're learning that our God is always with us. And even in the dark times of life, we can trust him how to make it through a storm. Look at Mark 4:38. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. That's Jesus. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Here's a point. Actually, it's a multiple point within one point. Two perspectives. Yes, two perspectives. Now, I want to examine this because I have gone through this so many times, just reading through the Bible, reading through this section of scripture, and I started to see something that's amazing. Our perspective really affects so much around us. Look at this scripture, Mark 4:38 again. The first perspective, but he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. Now, this is the first perspective. Christ is asleep. Are you hearing me? He is asleep. So this storm that has brought so much fear and distraction to the disciples, for Jesus, it is perfect. This is like the best bed for him. This storm has come in and rocked him to sleep, caused him to go into deeper sleep. Everything is fine from Christ's perspective because he is asleep. But look at the second perspective. They awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? So the first perspective, everything is okay. Actually, the storm is all good. It is blessing Jesus. And then that second perspective, bringing back again, is saying that, hey, Jesus, we're getting ready to die. Don't you care what is going on? Listen to this. Your situation is a matter of perspective. There ought to be some hallelujahs in the house. I'm telling you, listen to me. This is going to change some people's lives. I'm telling you, you're going to be encouraged. Again, your situation is a matter of perspective. So where you are right now, I want you to examine your perspective. Sometimes there are some situations that all you got to do is walk around behind it and look at the different direction, and you'll be able to shout on the other side, just looking in and seeing what God is doing. But there's some situations that your perspective is going to have to be set out on faith, and you're going to have to trust the Lord that he knows best and that he's working it out, and it's going to be a blessing when it all comes to an end. Rochelle Goodrich in Slaying of Dragons, she writes this. Listen to this. Sometimes a problem isn't a problem, but the solution in disguise. My goodness, I did. It just blessed me when I heard this quote. Listen again. Sometimes a problem isn't a problem, but the solution in disguise. What? How would our lives change if we start looking at our problems as a solution? Yeah, instead of naming them problems and complaining and bellyaching, we like there's a solution. I don't understand it. I don't really like it. But God, you've allowed this to come, and it's a solution in disguise. They were getting upset with the solution. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They were getting upset with the solution. Jesus is the solution. They had the solution in the boat with them sleeping. If Jesus was asleep, listen to me, shouldn't they have just laid down and slept with them? Yes. Think about that. Jesus had set the standard. We're in the boat. I've allowed this storm to come up so that we can get some good deep sleep. Just lay down, get you a pillow, and sleep like me. But so many times we go at it in our own way. We forget that God is with us. We forget that God is working it out, and we stress out. We belly ache. We cry. But I want you to know, follow the way of the Lord. He'll order your steps. Have peace. Oh, I'm speaking to somebody here today. You can lay down and get some rest even in the midst of the storm. How to make it through a storm. Look at Mark 4:39. I love this part. Then he arose and rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Here's another point. Speak to your storm. Yes. Speak to your storm. Some of you are in some situations right now, and you need to name that storm. You need to speak to that storm. Jesus speaks because he is the one who is in control of the peace. Are you hearing me? And he made all the elements. He's able to speak, and those things have to come forth. He is the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful. Somebody say Wonderful. Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, but Prince of Peace. He is peace. Please understand, Jesus had peace before the storm even came. Yes, remember, he's laying on his pillow. He is asleep. He is deep in sleep. He had peace even before the storm got there. And even in the storm, he is still asleep. He has peace. So please understand, it's not a matter of him calling for peace because of him. It's a matter of calling for peace for the disciples that are around him. There are times that God will allow you to just ride through your storm. He is not going to pull you out of it. He's not going to do a miraculous peace. He's saying he's going to allow you to ride through it because now you've got a different perspective. There are other times, for other people's sake, he's going to tell you to speak to that storm, speak peace to that storm, so other people can find comfort. But never forget, God has been speaking to things from the beginning. Remember Genesis 1:3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Genesis 1:6, then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Genesis 1:9, then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Genesis 1:11, it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb of the yield seeds, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed in itself on the earth. And it was so. God continues to speak in those Genesis excerpts. We see that God speaks and it happens. Whatever God speaks must obey. Whatever God says, it is going to come to pass. When we begin to stand on the will of God, we can understand this verse that so many take for granted. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. How to make it through the storm. How many of us are speaking death into our lives instead of speaking peace and victory and comfort and knowing that God is with us? We've got to speak to our storm. Also, Jesus taught as he walked in the will of the Father in John 14:12, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Listen to this 13th verse, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm. When we get in the will of the Father and we're following those things that he's already laid down, he said, just ask me. You can ask me anything and I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to bring it to pass because now you're in my will, how to make it through a storm. Look at Mark 4:40. But he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? This is heavy. Please hear. I want you to internalize this scripture. Look, but he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Here's the point. The fear factor. Yes, the fear factor. Early within the show, it was brought by Joe Rogan. It was called the Fear Factor. I used to look at it all the time. I used to be excited just to see people be challenged by their fears. Some of the strangest parts is when they have to eat stuff that they've never eaten before, like worms or, you know, rodents or other things that they have to deal with. I remember one of the shows was a lady. They put her in this kind of coffin of a type, and they poured snakes on her, and another lady, they put cockroaches and spiders and all of those things. And this was a strong lady, but she had a fear. She had a fear factor, and this brought out some internal stuff from the past. And in a self, physically, she could do it. She was in shape, but mentally, emotionally, when this fear was presented to her or this particular thing, it brought out the fear in her life. Please hear me, that so often as we go through our lives and distractions and fears are introduced to us, we get caught up, and it's not the situation, hear me, it's not just the situation we're in, but what it does, that situation actually goes deeper, and emotionally we tie something else in. We tie an incident from our youngs of being a young child, or we tie it from an incident that we were in an accident, or we tie it to an incident that a doctor says something, or on our job, emotionally it pulls up, and we wonder sometimes when we examine, why is this situation so bad to us? And you've got to realize the enemy is working on all sides. He's trying to connect the dots that you find yourself in this emotionally paralyzing way. But I want to tell you today, we're learning how to make it through a storm. Remember our memory scripture, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And there's going to be some times that it feels like you're stressing out, that you're breaking apart, that you can't keep it together. And I want you to quote that scripture, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And you may have to go over and over again and pray. And I dare you to just break out in some praise and say, God, I just want to thank you for what you've already done, and allowing the Holy Spirit to come on the inside. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm. Isaiah spoke this prophetic word in the Old Testament, Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody need to put in the chat, fear not, fear not. You don't have to fear, because our God, Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, he is with us. Paul writes to the saints in the New Testament, Philippians 4:6-7. I love this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Anybody want to walk in the peace of God? You've got to take God for his word and know that he is true. How is it, he says, that you have no faith? Oh, we're challenged. Saints, this is a rebuke for all of us, that there's so many times that we could have had peace in a situation, but our faith was lacking. We weren't stepping out on Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of not things not seen. No. We went and we got caught up in our own self. We got caught up in the situation, and we got caught up in the distractions, and the fears began to overwhelm us. But I'm telling you, this is where our faith has to step up. We're in a season of craziness that are going on from left to right, behind us, in front of us. But that's when our faith has to rise up and trust in our Lord. Someone came up with this striking acronym of faith, the F-A-I-T-H. It said, forsaking all, I trust him. Isn't that good? That's where we've got to come to in faith. Forsaking all, I trust him. There's going to be some time that you're going through the day and you're going to want to hold on some stuff. You say, no, forsaking all, I trust him. Notice this last verse of the day in this section, Mark 4:41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Here's our final point, and we'll pull this all together. What a mighty God we serve. Yes, what a mighty God we serve. Now, you'll notice the distractions, fears, they come to them. The storm has arisen. And now Jesus speaks. He doesn't even deal with them. He speaks to the storm, peace. It arises up. And now the fear is actually changed. When you look at the Greek here, now it comes to a more of a reverence type. Like, my goodness, the thing that we were fearing, you spoke to it and you calmed it down. And so now our emotions, all of these things that we have been turned to you. you, because we realize, at least at this point, that you are definitely King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and whatever you say, go. Whatever the miracles, what kind of miracles has God done in your life? What has he brought you through? There ought to be some shouts of praise. I'm telling you, some of you are going to have to just put it on pause right now, run around your living room, and just lift up your hands and say, God, I want to thank you for taking me through. I want to thank you for taking me through that accident. I want to thank you for taking me through that disease. And there's some of you that are in the midst of your disease, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your pain, you're going to have to just lift up your hands and say, God, I want to worship you right where I am, because I have learned and am learning how to make it through a storm. What a mighty God we serve. There have been some testimonies that have come through Ebenezer. There have been some testimonies that have come through where you are. Maybe you are part of another church or another locale or background, but you got a testimony of the goodness of the Lord, and we know that it's all hinging on Jesus and what he's done for us. I'm so glad to know a Christ that is more than enough. Can anybody say he's more than enough? I'm talking about how to make it through the storm. James Cleveland, a prolific singer, I love this song. He put these lyrics down and they're deep. He says, Master, the tempest is raging. The billows are tossing high. The sky is overshadowed with blackness. No shelter or help is nigh. He says, carest thou not that we perish? How can thou lie asleep when each moment so madly is threatening a grave in the angry deep? Master, with anguish of spirit, I bow in my grief today. The depths of my sad heart are troubled. Awaken and save, I pray. He says, torrents of sin and of anguish sweep over my sinking soul, and I perish, dear Master. Master, oh, hasten and take control. Master, the terror is over. The elements sweetly rest. Earth, sun, and the calm lake is mirrored, and heaven's within my breast. Linger, oh, blessed Redeemer. Leave me alone no more. And with joy I shall make the blessed harbor and rest on the blissful shore. He goes on, he says, the winds and the waves shall obey my will. Peace be still. Peace be still. Peace be still. Whether the wrath of the storm-tossed sea or demons or men or whatever it be, no water can swallow the ship where he lies. The master of the oceans and the earth of the skies, they shall sweetly obey my will. Peace be still. Yes, peace be still. They all shall sweetly obey my will. Peace. Peace be still. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm. I am so glad to know that Jesus, that was betrayed by Judas Iscariot, makes his way down the Via Dolorosa, goes to the cross of Calvary, allows them to put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But I'm talking about how to make it through the storm. Even in Matthew 26:45-46, now from the sixth hour into the ninth hour, there was a darkness over all the land. Yes, a storm was coming in. And about the ninth hour, Jesus crying out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But I'm so glad that he was carrying our sins and bearing our griefs. In Matthew 27:51-52, then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earthquake and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. I'm talking about how to make it through a storm, because our Jesus on that cross of Calvary died for us. We see all the elements breaking loose. Nature is going crazy. But the Christ dies and they take his body off of that cross and put it in a cold grave. But I'm so glad to tell you that 3 days later, he gets up with all power and all glory. That's how we can make it through the storm. We got to stay connected to the Christ and thank God for his Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside. Thank God for the Father's will and his word that he's given us. And I'm telling you, in the midst of your struggles, in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your stresses, in the midst of your distractions and fears, you've got to learn, say, when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done, you may not be able to see it where you are, but many of you can look back and say, God has been good. God has done so much. And I dare you right now just to give God praise, because that's how you make it through your storm. Yes, trust him. Know that he's faithful. The fact that you're still here, he's still working. The fact that you're still alive, the fact that you're able to hear God's word, and you're still able to, it says like a wheel in the middle of a wheel, you're able to feel, oh, God's presence. God says, I'm with you. So I want to encourage you today. We've learned how to make it through a storm that God is so good. If you don't know Christ today, that's your first step. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and said, you will be saved. Oh, don't you want to be saved? It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Receive that gift today. For the saints that are saved today, I want you to be encouraged by this word. That as you walk through these days, you walk through these weeks, we finish out this year and go into the next year, that you'll know our God is good and he's worthy of all the praise, and we can make it through our storm. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Oh, you're so awesome. Thank you for the life that you've infused into these scriptures, God, that they've lasted. And now we can apply them to our lives because they're truth, God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for being a deliverer. Thank you, God, for teaching us how to make it through our storm. Lord, I pray that souls are being saved, delivered, and set free, that your saints are being encouraged. Lord, help us to be on mission for you. We give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let Jesus lead you all the way from earth to glory. You can tell the story. Let Jesus lead you all the way. All the way, oh, let Jesus lead you all the way from earth to glory. You can tell the story. Let Jesus lead you all the way. Mother, he led her all the way. He led my mother all the way from earth to glory. She could tell the story. Let Jesus lead you all the way. He led him all the way. He led my father all the way from earth to glory. He could tell the story. Let Jesus lead you all the way. He led sister, he led her all the way. He led my sister all the way from earth to glory. She could tell the story. One of these old mornings won't be very